Tom and Noel Crow join the Morning Blend once again to provide our weekly American Catholic History lesson. More hidden gems and compelling stories of Catholic Americans who contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. Happy New Year and welcome to a new year of history lessons.
Yes, Happy New Year to you as well.
Happy New Year.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the first person through Ellis Island. This should be a compelling story for sure.
Yeah, well, it happened on January 1st, 1892, so it seemed like a good time to talk about it.
Yeah, here at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Her name was Annie Moore, and she was a 15-year-old girl from Ireland.
A lot of sources these days say she was actually 17 and that she possibly lied about her age to get a lower fare on her crossing on the Atlantic.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Records aren't super great, but she was a teenager.
Yeah. The article that came out of the New York Times on January 2nd, 1892 mm-hmm. refers to her as a 15-year-old girl. So that's what we're sticking with.
There you go.
And also there's this great song. The place we got the idea for doing this topic was there's a song. It's called Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears. It's performed by a lot of Irish singers, where the opening line is the first day of January 1892, they opened Ellis Island and they let the people through. The first to cross the threshold of the Isle of Hope and Tears was Annie Moore from Ireland, who was all of 15 years. So being an Irish music buff myself, I heard that like, hey, there's a story there. So she came over, as we said, at 15 years old or 17, in 1892 with her two younger brothers. Now, their parents were already over here. They'd been here for 2 years, but they came over, left the kids with some family, and they came over, and then once they raised enough money to bring the kids over, then they sent the money back, and the kids could pay their fare to cross. So they left in mid-December. It was like an 11 or 12-day crossing.
December 20th.
So December 20th, they left. And they arrived in New York Harbor on December 31st, 1891. However, they had to stay on the ship overnight.
Yeah, it was too late for them to be processed into New York.
Right. And they're opening the new processing center the next morning.
Right. And maybe a little bit of history on how immigrants came to America prior to Ellis Island is in order.
Right. So briefly, there hadn't been strong and centralized immigration laws in the United States up to this point. Was mostly handled by the states. So the states that had the major ports of entry were Baltimore in Maryland, Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, and then New York, and a little bit in Boston, Massachusetts as well.
Yeah, for a time also down in Texas.
Right, and then in Texas. Mm-hmm. Depends on where they're coming from, where the major ports of entry. Anyhow, but the different states basically handled it in different ways. And the people would be vetted based on whether they were able to support themselves here in the country, if they had somebody who could take care of them, if they had an illness, so they would healthy. Do a health check mm-hmm. to make sure they weren't bringing some epidemic into the country. And then there also would be like an interview to find out, are you an anarchist who wants to try to overthrow the government? So those were some of the things that were put in place over time.
Which, as we've seen from stories you've told, for example, Father Leo Heinrichs, Italian anarchists coming into the country, or if you know your American history, you know, a couple presidents kind of met their end that way.
Yeah.
Those anarchists. So it was a legitimate concern.
Yeah. Huh. So New York City became the number one point of entry with the highest volume. And they set it up at a place called Castle Garden, which is down in the southern tip of Manhattan. But this was just not adequate for the surge of immigration that happened in the latter portion of the 19th century, with a ton of Irish and German and
Eastern European. Central European.
Yeah.
It's also extremely corrupt and incompetent.
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
A lot of corruption, a lot of people leaking into the city, a lot of people who were taken advantage of. So the federal government finally stepped in and passed some laws to formalize it. And this was actually something that the federal government did that was really good. They already controlled this island, Ellis Island, in New York Harbor. So they didn't have to acquire new land. It had been used for some military purposes and some hospital purposes. So it was well suited. And they built this pine building and they said, okay, everybody's going to come through here. Another thing that did start to change was that getting ahead of myself a bit, but after World War I, when we established embassies in other countries, immigrants were able to get a lot of their stuff processed in their home country before making the crossing, which made the processing a lot faster here. Anyhow, so back to 1892. So Annie Moore and her brothers are on this barge coming over from the steamer that they crossed the ocean on. And her brothers, everybody knew, because this was a big hubbub. Everybody knew this was the first day, the big day for Ellis Island to open. And they knew that the first person to come across was going to get a $10 gold coin and was going to be like get vetted and all this cool stuff.
I mean, they were coming on a barge that was festooned with red, white, and blue ribbons and all kinds of things,
Yeah, there were bands playing and all kinds of
Right.
people came out to see it.
Deal.
Big deal. So her brothers, like, we're going to make sure Annie is the one to get out in front. And most people around them were like, yeah, absolutely. Let the Irish lass have it, you know? But then there was this one big German guy who was not so accommodating, and he wanted to be the first guy. So as the gangplank was lowered, her brothers are sort of muscling her to the front and trying to push this German guy out of the way. And there was a near run thing until a guy working on the docks, an Irish immigrant longshoreman who was working on the dock there, he stepped in and said, "Ladies first," and made sure she got to go across first. So
There's possibly a bit of politicking. I think the headline was "Rosy-cheeked Irish girl is the first, Irish
yeah.
lass is the first one across." So, as a model for immigrants coming to America, an Irish rosy-cheeked young lass who already speaks English,
Right.
which is a good poster child
Better
for
than this
this.
big burly German guy.
Yes,
Yeah.
but still, she did get to be the
Yeah.
first one to
So she and her brothers were
step up and be processed
processed
through
first.
Ellis Island. Yep.
And yeah, she was given the $10 gold piece, and there was a little speech made, and she said, "Thank you. Well, I will hold on to this forever," which is probably not true. Because she came from poverty, and she lived in poverty when she came here. But and if, like a $10 gold piece with inflation, she ended up, because somebody else gave her like $5, and a priest
There
who
was a
blessed her
priest.
gave her some gold, some silver coins.
Right.
So if just $15 in 1892 is equal to about $530 today.
Wow.
So just being the first person through, she was given over $530 plus some gold coins. Anyway, so then she and her brothers get through, and their parents are there to welcome them in the waiting room, and there's big hugs and tears and all this. And she goes into Manhattan and lives with her family. And then there are, for the longest time, everybody assumed she married this guy who took her to Texas, and she lived the rest of her days, dying in 1924 in Texas. But there's a genealogist who has a double name,
Yes.
Smolenyak.
Yeah. So, I mean, she was basically, lost to history for
Yeah.
a little while, as many immigrants were, got swallowed up into the poorer section of New York. And like Tom said, eventually people kind of connected her with this Annie Moore who was in Texas. However, doing a documentary about immigration and Ellis Island, this woman who is a genealogist named.
Megan Smolenyak, Smolenyak.
Yes.
Bless you.
Yes. But she, digging into census records, discovered that this Annie Moore, who lived in Texas, actually had been born in Illinois and was not an immigrant
Oh.
and was not the correct Annie Moore. There's a really interesting story of detection of how she figured this out, but eventually she managed to get in touch with actual descendants of Annie Moore and discovered Annie Moore had never left a small block radius of
Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Lower East Side of
Wow.
Manhattan.
She
She'd
did marry she married a German guy.
married the
Well,
son of a German baker
yeah.
and had 10 or 11 children, half of which died
In infancy.
before the age of
Yeah.
three. So, and eventually died of heart failure at the age of 50. Sort of a very hard scrabble life that she lived, sort of, I guess, fitting for the first person to
Yeah.
walk through. But it's Ellis Island. But it's really interesting. This genealogist points out that her descendants have moved all across the country, have moved up in wealth, and have married a variety of ethnicities and have really become the American story.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the genealogist actually also traced Annie's family in Ireland and has united the two families across the ocean,
Nice.
which is pretty
Nice.
cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a very typical Americana type thing. There are two statues to commemorate Annie Moore. One is, if so nowadays, Ellis Island, because it closed down in 1954. Its use waned, as I described, after World War II. It closed down in 1954. It became a museum. It has gone over some massive renovations. It's actually a fantastic museum nowadays of immigration. But when you take the ferry from Manhattan over to Ellis Island, there's a statue of Annie Moore there to welcome you. And it is a sister statue to one that is at Cove Harbor, which is where she left from Ireland. The statue in Ireland is her and her two brothers. So to
Wow.
unite the two places where she left from and where she arrived. A Catholic Irish immigrant 15-year-old girl was the first immigrant to come through Ellis Island.
Well, people want to learn more about what you guys do or listen to more of these wonderful stories. Where can they find you?
Oh, you can find us on AmericanCatholicHistory.org or wherever you get your podcasts.